Now,
the rest of the story. The playground at Fairfield School in Bristol, England, was inevitably part ice pond during the winter months. There was one area of the playground in particular, a depression in which snow melted and contained water froze. One could hardly reach the bicycle shed without crossing it. Consequently, Fairfield pupils became expert shoe skaters. Shoe skaters. A good running start could propel a youngster all the way to the shed's door. Occasional teacher warnings about falling down and getting hurt only made sliding more attractive. And really hardly anyone was ever really hurt until one cold winter's day when Archie was barely 13. One of the new boys at the school, but he had become a good shoe skater in no time. And that particular afternoon, he was sliding toward the bicycle shed when a faster classmate slid up from behind, collided with Archie. The other boy went sprawling. Archie fell face forward on the ice. It was a sledgehammer blow. Archie's mouth was bleeding as he staggered to his feet. Carefully, he ran his tongue over his front teeth to ascertain whether all were in place. And one was not. One of those two prominent front teeth, an upper incisor, had snapped in half, straight across. Now, for most any of Archie's school pals, such a mishap would have been no big thing, but Archie's family was not well off, as were those of his friends. In fact, Archie was attending Fairfield on a scholarship. His mother had left home for who knew where, and his father's salary as a presser in a clothing manufacturing concern was not even enough to cover the cost of school accessories and textbooks and uniforms and gym clothing and such. So Archie, deeply appreciating his father's sacrifices to provide an education, was determined not to add dental bills to his father's financial burden. And Archie fretted over this until a classmate told him that nearby was a dental college where dentistry students practiced on the public for nominal fees, sometimes for free. At worst, Archie could afford to have his front tooth taken care of out of his own weekly pocket money. So Archie went to the dental college, and sure enough, one of the students took care of the tooth. But good. I mean, he pulled what was left of it right out of the boy's head. Now, this front tooth is completely gone. Archie is faced with a more immediate dilemma, how to keep his dear father from noticing. And how he did it was to keep his mouth shut. For weeks, whenever Dad was around, Archie clammed up and said only what he absolutely had to, and then with his upper lip drawn tightly across the cavernous gap in his front teeth. And gradually something wonderful happened. That spacious space between Archie's teeth began to disappear. The teeth on either side slowly approached each other until they were side by side and the great gap was gone for good. In later years, it was said of Archie that he possessed a certain smile, a warm, masculine, engaging smile. But I wonder how many admirers had ever noticed that where virtually everyone else has two front teeth, Archie had only one, directly in the center of his mouth. And although we will never know the extent to which that feature may have enhanced his allure, Archibald Leach later changed his name to Cary Grant. And now you know the rest of the story.